Hey guys, I'm so glad you guys could come out tonight to hear my testimony. I think you're going to find it really interesting. For coming backstage, I just can't thank you enough to encourage me by coming backstage.
Yeah, glad to come, Al, but we're not really here to encourage you. In fact, we're kind of surprised they asked you to give your testimony at an event like this.
Yeah, no offense, Al, but your personal faith story is kind of, it's boring. It's like watching paint dry.
It's true, Al. We're actually here to tell you to get this over with as quickly as possible so the other speakers get more time. I mean, dude, no one wants to hear the story of a guy who gets saved at the age of 6, grows up in the church, and then becomes a pastor. I mean, we gotta face it. That's boring.
I know what you guys are saying. Don't worry. I was thinking the exact same thing before I got here, but I have got it covered. I've made a few changes. I would call them improvements to my testimony to make it a lot more interesting.
Changes?
How can you change your testimony?
Calling Al Deschino to the stage. Al Deschino to the stage.
Don't worry, guys. I've changed it, and it's way, way better.
Oh, let's go sit down, Chad.
Let's get in our seats. What do you think he meant by changing his testimony, Steve?
I don't know. Shh, there he is.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce our next speaker, Al Deschino.
Thank you for having me here tonight to tell my story. Well, my daddy left home when I was 3, and he didn't leave much for my ma and me. Just an old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he ran and hid, but the meanest thing...
I thought I knew Al pretty well, but I've never heard this part of his story.
He went.
This is fascinating.
I had my name legally
Oh, man. Chad, he's just reciting the song, A Boy Named Sue, by Johnny Cash. He flat out stole the thing.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, we can't let this go on. Boo!
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 Done with Al! Boo!
Welcome to Carnivore Theology, a podcast that answers questions about the Christian faith to help you grow from milk to meat, to grow into a wise, skilled, world-changing follower of Jesus Christ. With theologian and pastor Chad Graham, author and pastor Al Deschino, and your host, Steve Bastian.
We've been talking a little bit about testimonies, and it was, we discussed a little bit, Al, Chad, and I had a little bit of a discussion here, and Chad was so excited about this, he wanted to even add more aspects to this. So we should talk about what is a testimony before we go any further. Can either Al or Chad, can you tell us what is a testimony and why is it important?
Well, it's actually really interesting, this testimony idea, because I've had a few people in my church that are new and they don't know the Christian jargon, right? I was sitting across from a guy today or yesterday, and I was telling him my story and all the rest of that stuff. And I started talking about my Devos and how, you know, I struggled in my Devos, and then I learned how to do my Devos. And he just all up and stopped me. He's like, okay, what's a Devo? Right? And I'm like, holy mackerel. I didn't even think.
It's like Kim Kardashian, isn't it?
You know,
Steve's a Devo.
Testimony is actually, it's almost Christian jargon too. If you go into the Christian church, you're going to hear the term Devo quite a lot. And people talk about their Devos and doing their Devos. But you're also going to hear the term testimony quite a lot. And testimony, if you don't know what it is or you don't understand what people are talking about, it doesn't make sense. What is a testimony? Let me give you the brief outlines that I've got, and then Chad will jump in here, and then I've got something else to say. But a testimony is basically linked to the word witness, like in a courtroom. Okay, so that's generally what it is. You're giving witness. So I've got a little sermon I kind of prepared, but Chad, I know, has got a lot of things he wants to say about this.
Oh, that was it?
Well, I wanted to let you talk, too. I didn't want to just see. This is my new leaf I've turned over in this season. I've decided to let Chad talk a little bit.
He's actually going to share.
We all know I also had some health trouble, but it seems like something's going on a lot deeper than we thought.
It might be neurological.
Al, I think what you said is absolutely critical, that testimony has become Christian jargon. And there's actually nothing wrong with Christian jargon. Any identifiable social group is going to come up with its own way of communicating as part of its cultural identity. We find this everywhere. It's a neutral concept, but it can become an issue when it gets in the way of communicating the faith and being able to share with others. And I think testimony is a place, unfortunately, where that happens all too often. So if we're defining what a testimony is, I think the key that you gave in bearing witness is important. We got to remember the New Testament word for bearing witness is the Greek word martyrios, or martyr, from which we get the English word martyr.
Mm.
And a martyr in the English language is usually one who has suffered severely or usually died for their faith. Now, that's not exactly what the original word meant, but it meant giving that a kind of level of formal testimony. So Paul had to bear testimony before kings. Jesus bore a good testimony before Pontius Pilate. What happened to Paul when he was before kings? They killed him. What happened to Jesus before Pontius Pilate? They killed him. Polycarp was an early church father who was a leader in Antioch. And when the Roman Empire was trying to come together, they wanted to get everyone on the same page theologically by worshiping the genus of the emperor. Christians wouldn't do it. Polycarp was brought into an arena. He was tried before the emperor as an atheist, one who denied the gods, who denied the genius of the emperor. And he was asked, because of his age, and he was in his 80s at this time, to just do something soft. If he would simply say, "Away with the atheists," then he would be set free. But he looked at the emperor and he said that he has served God all of his life, the Lord Jesus who had saved him and delivered him, and how could he possibly betray him at this last time? And the emperor said, "Please reconsider. I don't want to put to death an old man." So with that, he turned on his heels, looked not to the Christians below waiting trial or finished their trial, but to the Roman audience, waved to the Roman audience and said, "Away with the atheists." And then he was put to death. That's what testimony is. From a biblical perspective, in Christianese, it's a little different, but it needs to be tied to a little bit more serious idea, I think, than we usually.
Well, you kind of jumped in there with both feet, went straight to and suffering for the faith. Yeah. It's really funny that you did that, because I think the first listener sitting here and they've been told to listen to this episode because they're giving their testimony before their baptism, and they're like, "Okay, so at what point do you nail me to the cross or drown me or burn me at the stake?"
Well, actually, you know, recent statistics have showed that people are more afraid of public speaking than they are of dying. So
there you go. There you go. Yeah. Okay, so let me give my quick little Devo here, just to bring it down a little bit so that we're not scaring everybody. Chad's absolutely, totally, 100% right, is that the idea of being a martyr is the ultimate witness. The idea of you're willing to die because you believe this so deeply, and everyone who sees you in your life and how you've died becomes, what do they say, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. For our context, when it comes to us talking about in our churches giving a testimony, I think the best thing we can do, turn to scripture. So Acts 1:8, after telling his followers not to worry so much about the end times and things like that, Jesus tells his followers, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." He says, "You'll be my witnesses." So what does that mean? That's my testimony, okay? Mm-hmm. So this isn't just New Testament stuff, though. So it comes right out of the Old Testament book of Isaiah, from Isaiah 43. So I'm going to read you a big chunk here. So listen, it says this, starting in verse 1. "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Sheba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, 'Give up,' and to the south, 'Do not withhold.' Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." So God here is telling his people that he's their savior, he's their Lord, he loves them, and he's going to save them because he loves them. He'll do everything necessary, no matter how far they've been scattered, no matter how deep their sin, no matter how much danger they're in, he's going to save them. Why? so they can testify, bring witness and to how great and powerful, majestic and kind and gracious and loving he is. He saves them so they can glorify him and then tell the world of his glory. So I'm going to start reading again in verse 8. Listen to this. This is fascinating stuff. Verse 8. Bring out the people who are blind yet have eyes, who are deaf and yet have ears. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Who among them can declare this and show us the former things? Let them bring their witnesses to prove them right, and let them hear and say it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no other Savior. I declared and saved and proclaimed when there is no strange God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. What's happening here is that the one on trial is God. God has put himself on trial. The prosecutors are all unbelievers everywhere and have been bringing accusations against him. There is no God, and if there is a God, then he must be powerless. And if he is powerful, then he must be evil because the world is a mess. And they ask critical questions like, is there a God? How can we know there's a God? What has he said? What has he done? Where's the evidence of his existence? How can we know he's the creator and the Lord and the Savior? Where is he? And the weirdest thing is that God, instead of blowing the minds of all these unbelievers with some great revelation or some great work of power, he leans back in his chair, looks over at us, and says, okay, guys, you are my chosen witnesses. You know me best. You served under me. You believe me. You know who I am. You know what I've done. You know that I'm the only God and I'm the only Savior. You're my witnesses. Go tell them that I'm God. That's what a testimony is. The whole point of a Christian testimony is not our story. It is the story that the God of the Bible has been writing in our life, and we are defending and we are presenting and we are witnessing to God.
That was excellent, El. So if we were now to give like a one-liner of what is a testimony, what would it be from your perspective? Somebody says to you, "El, I'm going to get baptized this weekend, and I was asked to give my testimony." What is that supposed to mean?
The story that the God of the Bible has been writing in your life. That's it. So you are testifying to what God is doing in your life and the glory He is showing you, and then you're telling that story. That's what it is.
So this is the interesting part to me. Because this is where I think it's so easy for us to go wrong, unfortunately, is in that link. How do we tell that story, really? And what does that mean? How do we know what the God of the universe is doing? So for the Jews coming out of Egypt, pretty easy. Tell what God's done. Well, he wiped out the greatest army in the earth, dried up the Red Sea, fed us in the desert with manna, and brought us in the promised land by, knocking out a few walls. Now it comes to me and it's like, oh, one day I was in Starbucks and this guy talked to me about Jesus. So obviously that's God's big.
I had a parking. You wouldn't believe it. I was going out for a donut this one time, and there was a parking lot right in the front. I mean, I had prayed that, Lord, let there be a spot right in the front. No, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. I'm not minimizing donut parking spots, by the way. I should take that back because
nor am I minimizing Starbucks in any way.
Things and small. So if, if he moved heaven and earth just so you can get a spot in front. Good, great. Be thankful.
Well,
but in all seriousness, those aren't related to getting a donut spot. Isn't related to God's great work of salvation. The Exodus was, and your salvation.
Okay, here's the thing. Okay, let me make a quick transition. Now, Steve, I know you haven't made the transition yet, but the idea of how to
let's just ignore Steve.
How
and keep
to
talking.
Do a testimony. The idea of how to do a testimony is going to answer the question that Chad has already raised here, and
that's what I'm trying to ask. Yeah,
it's. I'm going to walk away from this idea of method. I mean, there's whole articles and there's all kinds of things written about how to do a testimony. We're not talking about the four spiritual laws, or I'm not going to talk about memorizing Romans 6:23 and all that stuff. Okay, listen,
it's obviously five spiritual laws.
If I baptize anyone, I tell them they're going to give their public testimony.
Not an Al's church.
And that there are only three parts. Okay, there are three parts to a Christian testimony.
Well, three spiritual laws. Okay,
no,
got
no,
it.
No, 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 no. not lying. Stop that. Stop that right now. You're not only confusing me, but angering me. And you don't want that. Okay, there's
you don't like
three
him when
parts
he's angry.
Here. What was your life like before Jesus? How did you meet Jesus? What was life like since you've been saved by Jesus? Okay? The testimony that Chad just gave about the people of Israel, that's the same testimony they were giving about God then. What was life, life before Jesus? Well, before God, we were slaves in Egypt, and it super sucked. And we were under the thumb of the worst tyrant ever, and he made life worse for us. How did we meet God? Well, God sent someone. He sent someone to come get us to tell us all about him, and then he worked miracles so that he would get us out, so he would save us. He had us kill under the blood of this lamb. He had us paint the doorpost. He was amazing, an unbelievable work of power so that we could walk out being saved from a nation that could have wiped us out but didn't. And since we've been there, you know what he's done? He brought us to Sinai. He gave us the law. I mean, this is how it works. What was your life like before? How did you meet? And what's life like been since? That is captured within that is the entire story of the gospel. What was my life like before? Well, I was a sinner trapped in sin, and that's how I looked. That's the same story that believers have been saying all the way along. But me, this is how it looked for me. This is why we talk about our modern context in Starbucks. This is why we can talk about it here today. I was a sinner. You know, I was trapped in pornography. I was a terrible liar. I was someone who was broken. I didn't know how to love, and I felt the weight of my sin. That was my life before, right? And then there's meeting and then after. I mean, it's all the same. It's the same story for everybody.
Far be it from me to disagree with L, but in this case, I have to agree with L.
All right. Good. You got me.
Earlier, Al said that our testimonies are supposed to be about what the God of the universe has done in our lives. Mm-hmm. So why does it matter about a struggle with pornography or... see, that's the trap that I think that we often fall into.
Because he's the deliverer. He is the savior. He is saving you from something. He's delivering you from something. He is the conqueror. He is the king. He is the strong tower. You're running from something. You're going... there is an enemy. He is the one who was saving you from the enemy. You got to tell
you
that part of
your
story
first.
You
certainly are, but is the testimony about my struggle or is the testimony about what God has done? And the question that I would then push into it is... And this is legitimately just asking you as a question is, why do I need to mention that particular element? Because the
objection,
biblical
Your Honor,
story,
leading question. He has an answer in mind. I'd ask him to do it.
The biblical story is creation, fall, redemption, and new creation. That's what God's essentially doing. Super closely packed. The way we apply that is we recognize that God is the loving creator of the universe who created everything very good, blah, blah, blah. We were part of that creation, and so God owns us. He is our sovereign. He is our master. Mm-hmm. We fell in rebelling against God and rejecting him, and that cast us actually into the pit of slavery.
See, you're talking biblical theology on a grand spectrum. A testimony my story. And how that truth
but
it,
see, this is
me.
Again what I'm getting to is, and I'm my position is going to be what you said earlier, L, and I'm quoting L. No, it's not.
Yes,
the
it
testimony is.
It is the story that God is writing in my life.
The testimony is what is a witness to God. You quoted from Isaiah beautifully on that. You quoted from Acts 1. In Acts 1, you should be my witnesses. It wasn't go out and tell them your story of rescue from addiction. It was tell them what I have done.
Yeah, which was rescue me from whatever. That's the whole point.
Well, go through the Gospels and the Epistles and see how many times they mention what they've been rescued from.
Are you kidding, Paul? Are you kidding?
Think about it.
The whole motivation behind Paul's message is the fact that he was absolutely not going on the path of righteousness. He was an enemy of God. He was an enemy combatant who hated Jesus. Then Jesus showed up, knocked him...
Okay. I like what you're saying now because you got it right again.
Yeah,
okay?
But no, that's
so
my point.
What did Paul, say?
I didn't
get
to the next part yet.
Okay.
I've only gotten to the first part. There's two more parts to the story.
Okay.
We're going to run out of time soon.
You have to get to the part where you met Jesus. That's the whole point. And then that's where you can talk about your Savior. That's where you talk about what he saved you from. That's where you talk about how you aren't your own Savior, how the problem was deeper than you thought it was. Even though your presenting issue is this, the problem was actually the full total depravity of my soul. And God showed me that and that I needed a Savior. And so I met Jesus because God introduced Jesus to me, showed me my sin, called me to repentance.
So, but When I talk about my testimony needs to be that God is my legitimate master, but that I have rebelled against him and I've been caught up in slavery.
Exactly.
To sin. And so whatever it is that maybe is my individual sin, I can certainly mention that. But I think the bigger point of testimony needs to be I've come to recognize that God is the creator and ruler of the universe, and that includes me. I've realized that that has not been true in my life.
Yeah.
And through my rebellion against God, I fell into some nasty things. I don't want to emphasize those too much, but they were really serious to me. They really held me in slavery. But now something's changed because Christ, my Savior, has come. Christ, the Savior of the world, has come, and he has redeemed me, he has rescued me, and he's restored me to the purpose. That's what I'm getting at, is turning that testimony a little bit away from my story.
Well, let me help you out here, Chad, because I think you could do better. You can ask a five-year-old for their testimony, and you can get a Christian testimony from a five-year-old, and they're not going to give you a gutter conversion story. What they're going to tell you is the biblical theology that they know, and that I'm a sinner, and that I do bad things, and that I disobey my parents, and that I know that I'm a sinner, so therefore I need Jesus to wash me clean. That's all they're going to say, and that's the gospel, and that's still the gospel for them. I'm saying that as an adult, when I have a conversation about this, I can get real specific about the fact that these are the ways that I broke God's heart, and these are the ways I proved how deplorable I am.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's legitimate, but going back to our skit, what is it that people want?
Yeah.
What do people want to hear?
Yeah. That's why, again, I say there's three parts. There's the before, there's the how I met Jesus, and then my life after Jesus.
Yeah. That's a really important part.
Give God glory, grow in faith and obedience. Yeah. Here's how I've been tempted. Here's how I've seen victory. Here's how he answers prayer. Here's the ways that God has changed, not just my life, but changed the world. And here's how the church works and all that stuff. So, I mean, it's still meant to give God glory. If you're giving yourself glory, if you spend three quarters of your story talking about your sin and gross and trying to impress people with how bad you were, you missed the point. Because the point is to glorify God.
Yeah, I really like that, Al. That totally makes sense.
You know, when Chad said there something to the effect that, you know, when people focus so much on how bad they were at one point and who they were at that time, I can honestly say when I was about 12, 13 years old, I went to evening church service with my parents, and I probably didn't know what the service was about at that age. I just went because we went, and you know, there's some guys there that were supposed to be presenting, and they started talking to me. The one guy started praying with me. You know, like, it was a little bit weird. It was like a little forward, but at the same time, I rolled with it. And then during they gave their testimonies. And this guy shared that, you know, he had hit people with an axe, spent time in jail, tried to kill his own sister, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And he was going through the Teen Challenge program at that point.
Wow.
So that's what it was. I was terrified of people's testimonies for a while because that shocked me, because I let someone personally kind of into my life who I normally wouldn't. And I mean, the Lord worked in my heart over time with that. But I didn't like testimonies. I thought, like, oh no, I'm going to hear about, I think this person over there is kind of interesting. I'm going to find out they're a horrible person, you know, or they have these capabilities in them. And I was forgetting the redemptive qualities of Christ's new body.
I think as long as we focus on what God has done, though, sometimes those can be really helpful to really show, like Al was pointed out earlier, you know, the Jews were able to say, I was rescued from slavery in Egypt. It wasn't some small thing. It was a big thing. And that's, I think, okay to say, but we're all rescued from slavery in Egypt. And that's where I think sensationalizing, and what I was trying to get at before, sensationalizing the sin side, I think, is the problem.
Well, even Paul, when he starts sensationalizing his own sin, or even the good things that he's had in his life, he says, you know, and now I'm talking like a madman. Like this is not what I should be doing, is telling you all these things. But here's the point. And I think...
He had a rhetorical point there.
Yeah, here's a rhetorical point. And I think the point, we get lost when we start glorifying the sin in the story. But I think at the same time, we need to make sure... And I love hearing those crazy stories, because you're like, you know, God poured grace on someone who was graceless, right?
Hey, Steve would like to ask another question, so I have another point I want to make.
You guys jumped in. I was going to ask, are there times that are actually bad times for testimonies, or is there such thing as a really bad testimony?
Yeah, anytime you don't know the person.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't just jump in there with a, you know, like laying it down. Like, start with sports scores and the weather and work your way up to dumping your truck on them. Like, really. One-on-one is where testimonies really shine, right? It's not just through microphones.
I think testimonies are a problem when they're used improperly.
Mm-hmm. What are some examples of that?
very frequently we use well testimonies when we use them like in conjunction with a baptismal service or membership into a church, something like that. Mm-hmm. And the point of those is to give a public affirmation of our faith along with the regular means that the church has to proclaim the gospel. I think when testimonies become relied on because we live in a postmodern world and we believe that the story of someone's personal life transformation is more powerful than the ordinances or the gospel, then I think that's when any testimony gets to be a trouble. Mm. And it can be very subtle. I don't think we necessarily think that out loud, but that's what it becomes. And sometimes we do think that out loud because I've heard people specifically argue that.
So, like, practically, you're saying, like, oh, man, I can't wait to get to church, not because I'm worshiping God and not because I'm going to be able to get the sacraments or not because I'm going to be able to give or because I'm going to serve, but I can't wait to get the dirt. I can't wait to get there because testimony time comes. And just the dirt, man, it's just, oh, I love it because this guy, he's divorced and I learned about all these people that are upset with each other and then this guy keeps talking about his uncle so-and-so who's drunk. I just can't wait to get the dirt.
What I'm talking about is more general stuff like the celebrity testimony culture. If we could just get John Travolta to come to church and give his testimony, that would be it. But we do it way more subtly than that. We just tend to think and well, I think the great problem of the church today is at least semi-Pelagianism. It's so human-centered, so me-oriented, and I think the testimonies can reinforce that when they become central. However, at the same time, they can be such wonderful, beautiful testimonies to what God has done. Mm-hmm.
And that was the point of the joke of the opening skit was the fact that you don't have to embellish your testimony because it's already amazing because God's writing it. Mm-hmm. You know, that if you were 6 years old when you got saved and you lived a good life and then you went on the mission field and you've been trying to be, you know, that is a good testimony. I promise you, I know enough guys with the really interesting testimony that would kill for
Do you know who had a boring testimony? Jesus. And when he bore that testimony before Pontius Pilate, you know, he had a captive audience.
Right.
Or at least he was a captive.
I disagree. I disagree. I find the Gospels very interesting, unlike Chad, who finds them boring.
We have to wrap this up. But next week, if you...
We're snarky today, aren't we, Chad?
You're both in a little bit of poor moods. Maybe it's good that we decide that we would tell our testimonies next time, not this time.
I've got 3 hours sleep and Chad's got six. Okay. So.
Yeah. Well, next time we will share a bit of our own testimonies. We'll also get to hear Chad tell Al he's wrong about his own testimony.
Yes.
Because we know that's coming. It's just,
my testimony has to do with a machete. And so I know that Steve is going to be very excited to hear it.
Oh man, I better bolster some stuff, man. Holy, mine's super boring.
Oh, okay, well.
You know what? I'm going to go out and do some stuff before next week to add to my testimony.
Okay.
Just so I can make it a little bit more
interesting. Al, you have 7 days to make it interesting.
I just picked up what you were saying.
To find out more about carnivore theology, or if you've got any topics or questions you'd like us to cover on upcoming episodes, let us know by visiting our website, www.carnivoretheology.com. You can also leave a message on our SpeakPipe page. That's at www.speakpipe.com/carnivoretheology. If you like what we're doing, please share with your church and friends. Like us on Facebook, rate and subscribe to us on iTunes, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. We encourage you to connect with your local biblical church and keep your eyes on the cross.
Yeah, no offense, Al, but your personal faith story is kind of, it's boring. It's like watching paint dry. Yeah, man, no offense, but your personal faith story is, how do I say this? Bland like potatoes. No offense, but your personal faith story, it's really boring. Like, you know, watching cheese get moldy. Boring.
Let's get in our seats.
You can land like an airplane.
Hey, well, you gotta twist the music is mine. You just gotta like... Done with Al! Boom!
Burn him at the stake.
Right. Heretic! Heretic!
Burn the witch!
Sure.
He turned me into a newt!
You guys are so mean.
me again, isn't it? It's true, Al. Yeah.
And you just got really quiet. You got to turn up, man.
Yeah, Al's a lot louder.
I don't know how to turn anything up.
Oh man,
I hate my life. Okay, start again. I'm concentrating properly this time. I keep being distracted.
Apologize, video listeners.
All right, let's we're live, aren't we?
Here we are. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
It sounded like Steve was trying to get a word in anyway, so let's just cut him off and talk about something else.
We learned we don't need him.
Oh, that's not what he said when you want me to organize things.
Oh, right. Well, organize. That's different. Yeah.
Administration. We were lost. Lost without you, Steve.
Why Netflix when we got church and chill? But
I know. I need to brush my teeth now. That was awful.
Wait. I have Al's testimony right here. You ready?
What?
Al was raised in Iran, where he was educated in a madrasa school.
I've never ran in my entire life.
There he learned that all Westerners were evil, and he was raised for the jihad.
Yeah.
At the age of 19, he moved to Canada and was inserted in a sleeper cell in Edmonton, where his job was to blow up the local Bible college. But upon entering the campus, he saw light reflect off of the chapel window and come out in the image of an angel, which encouraged Al to think that of the angel that had spoken to the prophet. But having seen this angel, Al began to inquire what might be in the chapel, and walking into the chapel, he met a young man who told him the story of Jesus Christ. At that moment, Al was convinced. He fell on his knees and he became a believer, giving up his life of terror and entering a life of peace and the proclamation of gospel ministry.
Oh my goodness. That my story has never been told so beautifully or so absolutely bogusly. That was a beautiful thing.
You could get a book deal with that one, Al.
Oh, without question. Yeah, that's right. All right. See you later.
Avita Zane.
It's a podcast, Chad. Oh,
Say words. Right. I'm supposed to talk. See you next week.
Goodbye.
My friends.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.